Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, wellness, brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, UK Health Radio, neuro-optometry and figure skating. It's quite a doubleheader. Dr. Bryce Applebaum, he's a neuro-optometrist at My Vision First. He's the founder of Screen Sid. He'll be joining me along with Morris Aiken, one of my longtime figure skating boot and blade experts, gosh, for decades. Then the sports doctor's in with some upcoming guest topics. Dr. Bryce Applebaum, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here. Excited for this conversation.
Yes, give us a quickie background on you and neuro optometry. I used to say hand-eye coordination. Now I say hand-eye brain when we're talking neuro. But give us some background on you and your neuro-optometry.
Yeah, so I'm a functional eye doctor and specifically a neuro-optometrist. And my passion, my specialty is optimizing and rewiring the eye-brain connection with a revolutionary form of treatment called vision performance training. And this topic is so important for today's world because we are in a screen time pandemic. Digital devices are everywhere, and screens are ruining our eyes, our brains, and the eye-brain connection.
You know, you're one of the first people in the world of optometry that I've heard paying big attention to that, the screen stuff. I've had vision high-performance trainers decades ago. They used to deal with race car drivers, and they were working on, you know, hand-eye coordination, going 200 miles an hour with somebody 2 inches off your fender. But the idea, again, of the screen time phenomena, which now we're all so familiar with, and there's not a serious athlete in the world that doesn't pay big attention to vision training, finally.
100%. And what's so interesting is, I mean, like you, we work with pro and elite athletes in every sport imaginable, but that driver you're speaking about who's going 200 miles an hour and having to stay a couple inches from the fender bender, their visual system is getting compromised by the screen time and the phone engagement that they're doing in their off time that's causing the inside and outside muscles of the eyes to not work well together and then causing
stress
on the system.
Is that big news to the sports medicine world? It sounds like, you know, still big news, like years ago when we were talking about the role of the foot, and we have, you know, he really is an educator, but the idea that, again, the all the screen time that everybody goes through ain't great for the vision when it comes to high performance, is what you said.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? It causes our vision and our thinking and our capacity to become locked in and tunneled. And when you're put in that state of fight or flight, through the too much screen time, the stress in the environment, that impacts all aspects of performance, not just movement, but thinking and productivity and efficiency throughout our days.
Well, we used to see, again, in some of the different experts I've had on, whether it was ophthalmology or it was optometry or it was high-performance vision training, again, the idea that, number one, the awareness that you can train these systems. That number two, you know, knowing the right techniques and knowing what and how to do it was so important. You know, whether we were talking with a one of my longtime guests, Sheila Thielen, is a master figure skating coach, but she works with vestibular systems. And, you know, when someone's doing like a triple jump and they're spinning around like crazy, working with the ear, hand-eye type of coordination, I guess that's all under the category of neuro.
100%. And our vestibular system, which is our internal GPS system and the roadmap of life, that and our visual system, they need to be in a healthy marriage together. And they need to be sending signals that our brain can interpret rather than just working on one in isolation. So really optimizing and enhancing vision that's what unleashes potential for sports, for activities of daily living. And any brain at any age can be enhanced and optimized in terms of vision and the neuroplasticity that we can all tap into.
What was the topic of your TED Talk?
Why everything we know about vision is wrong.
Ha! Right, man. Let's discuss if you're in the right shoe. Right? Yeah. In those kinds of situations. You know, again, hand-eye coordination has been a very, very big deal for a long time. Whether it's, again, whatever the sport happens to be. And my long time, the late, great sports trainer, Bob Guida, who worked with from Jim McMahon to the John McEnroes to the Walter Payton. And he always talked about working balance and how much he gave value to the role of eyesight. One of the questions was, besides the importance of eye protection, which is such a big deal, you know, in youth sports, it seems that category, you know, the idea, if you can use any lens you want, we would make sometimes the comparison to orthotics. Can you improve vision with glasses, or is it always something used because some correction is needed?
Yeah, well, what we're talking about here, Dr. Bob, is way more than eyesight. We need to think about vision as much more than just 20/20 eyesight. Vision is how our brain filters, organizes, processes all the information coming in through the eyes. So, of course, you need to be able to see stuff clearly. That's eyesight. That's a symptom. But vision is, what does your brain do with that information? So with especially high-level athletes, typically they can see well. And if they can't see well, they're wearing glasses or contacts. But really the vision piece is, how do we get the brain to then react quickly, to process space, to have depth perception, to be able to take in what's in front of us and around us so that we can get percentage improvements in different areas that can have a really nice, large cumulative effect in terms of performance.
And what are some of the other things that are wrong about everything we think we know about eyesight?
There are so many misdiagnoses and missed opportunities when it comes to vision. So ADD and ADHD, for instance, very often is a functional vision problem causing the exact same symptoms and behaviors, but we're just slapping a label on it. And if you can't control your eyes and their ability to focus, you can't control your mind and its ability to focus. Something like...
You find in the connection, over the years, I've worked with many experts, have had them on the show in the world of autism. And again, the idea of acuity and vision was something we would pay big attention to, the necessity of adding exercise. They were also talking about, again, the cognitive side. And I guess, you know, the eyesight, it makes so much sense. Where do people go to find out more information about you and your work, Dr. Bryce?
Yeah, I appreciate that. So myvisionfirst.com is our brand and our practice. Everything is on there. We're on social media. Instagram is probably our best resource. It's Dr. Bryce Applebaum, DrBryceAppelbaum. My ancestors didn't want to spell Applebaum like apple, the fruit. So they wanted to make life difficult for us. But those are the best places.
You know, go figure. You know, I had expert from the Netherlands on a couple of months ago. He was a Tao therapist, and he was talking about 2,500-year-old ideas of lifestyle and functional medicine. And about some of the different rules of the day. He said tradition sometimes. So sometimes it's 2,500 years old, and other times it's, you know, my great-grandparents, they paid attention to the spelling in that regard. The whole area, what is ScreenFit all about?
Yeah, so ScreenFit is our online vision training program that teaches the exact visual skills and abilities needed for reading, for learning, for driving, for life. And it's a way to have this type of training be more accessible to people that aren't able to fly in for our week-long boot camps to my practice in Maryland.
Yes.
ScreenFit's a nice way to get started on that journey. You can do it from home. It requires no equipment. 30 lessons in each course.
Yes, the huge topic on the sports doctor for decades, give or take a few weeks, is youth sports, where we're dealing with. It doesn't matter what the sport is, with 10, 11, 12, 13-year-olds. In many instances, very, very serious kids. What are the age kinds of options, age limits where you're talking about the importance of bringing in these kinds of skills. Is it 3 to 103?
that's about right. Anybody with eyes benefits from this type of work. Obviously, you got to tailor the work to the age-appropriate demands. But, I mean, we see infants who we put in treatment. But I would say for screen fit and for office-based work, usually 3 or 4 is kind of the early age to start. And then any brain at any age. We've got a 92-year-old right now in office-based treatment with us developing depth perception for the first time. And any brain can be taught new tricks at any age.
And that's why, again, a guy like Bob Guido all those years ago, we used to call it instability training, where every athlete he had was balancing on mini-trams. Now, they might have been concentrating, looking at something at the same time, whether they were falling or moving or jumping. And again, this is again when he was talking about that acuity range. And I ironically, he was paying the same kind of attention to the function of the foot. But by creating imbalance, instability to these systems, you would be strengthening them in so many different ways. And again, whether it's a tennis player or it's a hockey player swinging a hockey stick, whatever it happens to be, jumping, changing direction in those situations. So probably the earlier you bring awareness of something like that, the better. How big a deal also, I really wanted to talk to you, Bryce, was we always talked about the whole idea of protection and whether or not this is even close to being as much attention as we need, you know, whether you're on a racquetball court or you're talking kids sports and the idea of eye protection.
Yeah, I mean, eye protection is huge, not just from a physical standpoint for a ball or something coming in and causing structural damage, but really from a functional visual skill standpoint. I mean, when we have head injuries, vision is always impacted because vision is represented in every lobe of our brain. And you can't have a head injury and not have vision be impacted. It's just a matter of at what level.
Yes.
So many head injuries are avoidable.
Big topic on the sports doctor, international guest, the world of concussions. A lot of excitement with hyperbaric oxygen with some of our friends around the country again. But again, the vision side of things always affected in some way, shape, or form in the these, you know, post-concussion or all of that attention, again, to the, you know, over the years, we paid so much attention with diabetes and podiatry with the feet, optometry, ophthalmology, the eyes always were, you know, the areas that might be the earliest that might be affected of some of these changes. We always had that partnership with you guys.
I love it. I mean, vision is always impacted after a head injury. And now that we're having to return to learn, return to screens, return to life, it becomes that much more scary of a path unless we're doing the right work to use the eyes to rewire the brain to change our using vision. More than half of my practice is now dedicated to traumatic brain injury concussion rehab. And that's because we're realizing this is the missing piece to reestablishing function.
Have they been turned on to the hyperbaric oxygen excitement?
I mean, definitely have a lot of patients who take hyperbaric
dives. My guest a couple of weeks ago, Bryce, was the neurosurgeon for 40 years with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Dr. Maroon. He's one of the leaders in that whole area of technology. Again, dealing with these traumatic brain concerns. Concussion's been such a big deal. Of course, the military is such a gigantic deal. And again, you only have to think for 2 seconds to realize, like Dr. Bryce Applebaum is saying, is that vision is affected from A to Z in so many different ways. And do you find that the medical professions, we know how challenged they all are, and we all are, do you find that, again, the information is getting out there to try to pay attention to all these things? Did you feel that people might be thinking wrong about eyesight?
Well, we're getting there, but we still have a long way to go. I mean, taking a proactive approach to health and to recovery is way more effective than taking a reactive approach. And we're starting
I have to ask you our famous question, Dr. Bryce, and people in the various professions. I have to ask you in all that area, you're dealing with athletes, you're dealing with parents, you're dealing with kids. How's your sports psychology skills?
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, psychology skills with every patient is exactly what we need to be tapping into, because so often people are told that nothing is wrong with them. It's in their head because doctors, specialists aren't looking at the right areas, not doing the right tests, and not learning, not knowing where
the
rewiring
needs to take place. You got to keep your eyes open. Bryce, give us the place everybody can find out about you and your great work again. Quickly.
Yeah, myvisionfirst.com, screenfit.com, and at Dr. Bryce Applebaum on social media.
Is My Vision First one ST or spelled out first?
Spelled out. So it's myvisionfirst.com.
Getting back to the spelling and names. All right, man, hold on. Thanks so much, Dr. Bryce Applebaum, neuro-optometry. We'll definitely have you back. You're on our roster. Everybody, we'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor.
Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag HeySportsParents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athletes. Hashtag, hey sports parents.
Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Live from Chicago, the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Everybody knows the world of figure skating, what a big deal it is. I can't believe we're celebrating 16 years. Evan Lysacek, gold medalist, put his orthotics in his skates when he was 10. Might have been Morris. Who knows? Morris Aiken, longtime boot expert, blade guy. Morris, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks, Dr. Weil.
Give us some background on you and the world of figure skating. I'm trying to remember you and I. We got to go back at least a couple of decades. Give us some background on yourself and the world of figure skating.
Absolutely. So I was thinking about this the other day as well. I would say we met when I was in my early 20s. So I would probably say we've known each other for about 30 years. You know, time flies, and you know, I can tell you, you and I have established a great relationship, and you've been such an asset to my clients. So I'll start by saying thank you to you. But gosh, I, you know, I started in the figure skating world at the young age of 15, working for a shop here out of Chicago, Illinois. I was with them, till I graduated college. And then I opened up my own shop that I had for.
Who were you with, Mark? Who was the shop was you were first with? Were you with the Geppetto's or Rainbow?
No, I was with Rainbow Sports Shop, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I still see people from Rainbow.
Yeah. So I learned the basics from them, and then when I went on my own, I took it a step further, and you know, I went to boot manufacturers, and you know, I took some classes on the functionality of the foot. So, and then obviously having you in my back pocket was very helpful. And I've been doing it
now. That's what Lysacek said. He said I was, Lysacek always called me his secret weapon when he was, Coca-Cola was his, and as we speak, of course, one of the things I'm excited about, the Olympics start in a couple of days.
Yep.
All the excitement with the figure skating. And again, I can't believe that you know, we just celebrated again this 2010, Evan, from Naperville, Illinois, won the Olympic gold medal. And Danny O'Shea is 34 years old. He's going to the Olympics in pairs. And he was 13 when we put orthotics in his skates. But Morris, for everybody, was, again, one of the few individuals around the country that I really trusted that not only would your son or daughter or you be fit properly, but you also would benefit from his knowledge which brand to pay attention to. There were quite a few different brands, let alone the placement of the blades, and let alone et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And again, once we would add that expertise to the prescription individual situation involving orthotics or all about alignment, that was the gold program. When I used to ask people like you all the time, what people would say, you know, should I get a custom boot or stock boot? The figure skating boot industry has been around semi forever, right?
Yeah.
And they were very reluctant to change anything. I screamed at them 30 years ago about shock absorption. And it seemed that Rydell, who finally put maybe some sort of a crepe material or something in there. But then there have been some various changes over the years. Do you feel that industry has really made some progress as far as the quality of boots and the, durability?
Yeah, you know, I firmly believe there's not one specific skate boot for every single skater. I mean, you look at the shape of each individual's foot. You've got kids with narrow feet, wide feet, medium feet, low arches, and so forth. So I would say there's not one solution. So I think every boot manufacturer out there definitely makes a skate to fit an average foot. But you do have situations where, you know, you've got really low arches, or you need some type of orthotic to eliminate a lot of, you know, the foot pain or the knee pain and so forth.
Yes. Well, you know, what's been exciting, Morris, that we've watched together is not only does the orthotic help get rid of the symptoms, which is almost always when we used to see these kids, their arches hurt, their shins hurt, their knees hurt.
Right.
What was exciting was they skated much more efficiently because we were putting the joints in their proper alignment. And sitting
right.
A boot doesn't do that. It's got nothing to do really with the joints. It's got to do with the fitting. The custom boot world, when you would see, again, maybe excessively narrow, excessively wide feet, for example, was that one of the times you'd pay more attention to the customs compared to stocks?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times if you have a foot that's too narrow, you'd do what we would call a combination width, so the heel would be much narrower than the ball. And then depending on the type of orthotic, we'd have to go to a custom boot a lot of times. I personally try to avoid putting anyone in a custom boot, obviously because of the cost. But there are some times where it makes sense.
But again,
yes, I have found that if you're looking for either a custom boot on the left or a good fitting stock boot with an orthotic on the right, there's no doubt that the stock boot with the orthotic to step up, because that's where we've got the prescription that's being involved. And again, in our sport, you see, again, over the years, where we see 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds doing double jumps all week.
Right.
And really pushing the envelope. And this is when we started paying big attention to a lot of the overuse with some of these kids. And, of course, you're working with the coaches and you're working with the parents. And that's why I always ask you, Mars, how your sports psychology skills are.
It is, right. You know, it is rather difficult. I mean, you're working with kids who want to have the same skate their friend has, or they want to have the same skate of whichever professional skater is wearing. And that's not,
well,
not
we
the
also, we
at.
Run into specialization. You know, when I wrote my article that I've shared with you guys called The Prodigy Sports, every doctor, sports medicine person, trainer wants children to play different sports, use different parts of the body, have different challenges. That's great, unless you're a gymnast or a figure skater, or now it's soccer and tennis, where we start to see specialization very, very early, whether we like it or not. And this is when we want to pay sometimes a little bit more special attention, you know, to some of these kids. But the more talented that young boy or girl is, the more we see the physical as well as the mental pressures really, really add on. I mean, you work with various top kids, as well as their coaches and their parents. And what do you mean you don't feel better this week? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's a real challenge.
Yeah, especially in a sport that takes into consideration, you know, the physical body and you know, they expect a certain type of size, and it's just not, it's not a healthy belief, in my opinion, anymore. I think, you know, you got to take the individual, the child, and work with what they have.
Well, you know what's funny? I'll tell you a great story. It's one of my favorite stories, Mars. When Lysacek won the gold medal in 2010, and again, I had seen him since he was 9 and a half, I had his mother on the radio show, Tanya, and I said to her, how did you know it was his goal, that common? How did you know you weren't pushing him, that it wasn't your goal? She said, you know, Dr. Weil, he had ice time at 6:15 in the morning and never had to wake the kid up. You know, there he was sitting in the car with his gloves on. And I thought that was as good an answer as I heard from any sports psychologist I had for years. But specialization is the reality. And sometimes we want to be paying attention to those kinds of problems, where we'll see some of these kids and say, you know, if my daughter doesn't take 2 Advil twice a day, her knees are killing her because she's jumping rope all the time besides skating and pushing. And it's good to see the off-ice training world, I think, has progressed well at the same time. Don't you, Mars?
I do. I think between the off-ice training and the strengthening that they're doing off-ice is super important. But again, going back to the skate that they're wearing, they are, you know, these skates are not as stiff. They're a little lower cut. It increases forward flexibility without sacrificing support. So they allow the body to function the way it's meant to function. It's giving you bend at the ankle, bend at the knee, and bend at the hip. So your leg truly does act when you land.
Yeah, so that's the step up that I think was welcome to see, which was, again, instead of imagining that foot is locked in a cast, something that's so dramatically stiff and restricting that really, really many times would restrict normal, even enhanced motion, that the industry was finally starting to change slightly. A lot of that had to do with how heavy the boot was. I remember what a big deal that became all of a sudden, and we were very concerned that we did not want to jeopardize structural integrity for weight. And it seems that the industry has followed suit and paid attention to both areas. And that's why I never sent anybody to Mars and said, I want him in this type or that boot or that boot. We allowed him to pick whatever it was and then fit them properly. Now, the blades is a whole other world, isn't it?
Yep. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Different rockers, different toe picks.
Right. Is there any shock absorption anywhere besides your body?
In my opinion, no, I don't think there is. I mean, you see all these boot and blade manufacturers introducing new designs. They're using more carbon or more synthetic material in the blades, but metal. But I mean, the amount of pressure that comes down on those skates, I don't think there's really anything you can do, you know, other than to develop the individual's muscles and control and really get them to use the equipment the way it's meant to be used.
Yes, we make a very, very big deal out of every skater strengthening feet and ankles. Matter of fact, for all sports, as a routine high performance and reducing any kind of pressure of injury. Way back with SP Terry, we wanted to put the same kind of material that you see on the heel post in orthotics. Mm-hmm. Very, very dense, super tough rubber. And we wanted to run that through the heel and through the ball of the foot, but at the same time, everybody was screaming about weight, and I still have the prototype somewhere if I look in my garage, Mark. But I think Rydell, you would put some cork in the heel,
yeah.
You know, trying to pay attention again to some sort of absorbency. And but again, the blade industry again was very concerned. Can they come up with something slightly more flexible? I mean, think of every woman champion in the past, the Peggy Flemings, the Dothery Hamels. None of them even did triples. Now you've got these girls that are starting to play with quads. The physicality of skating is dramatically increased.
Yeah, yes, it has. I mean, again, the amount of pressure that's put on the body and taking into consideration what they're balancing on. It's such a thin piece of material, so you know, not only do you have to worry about the shock absorbent, but you have to worry about landing in the appropriate position so you don't roll an ankle or do worse damage.
Do you have a website or whatever that people could find out more about you and what you do or where to find you?
Yeah, so I am technically found via word of mouth. This is not my full-time gig.
This is your art. This is your art. I hear you. Yes. So if they might go by word of mouth, they could always find out from the sports doctor where to check out and get your email information.
Yep.
It's funny. It's quite a community, the figure skating community. What facility are you working? Are you working at any of the local rinks?
No, you know, ever since COVID hit, I realized I can do the same thing I was doing out of the shops, out of my house. So I do it out of one of the Chicago suburbs. You know, all my business is referral based via the coaches. So if anyone wants to find me, I guarantee you, if they ask their coach will know how to get a hold of me.
Well, we're going to come back. I'm going to ask you. We'll be right back, everybody. I want to ask you about, you know, we'll talk a little bit about the Olympics, some of that excitement coming up.
Right.
Talking figure skating. We're talking with my longtime dependable colleagues, Marit Aiken. It's the Sports Doc. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine.
Love and laugh.
Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Kiss me quick.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
It's live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist, talking with longtime figure skating boot blade expert and the figure skating colleague, Marth Aitken. And again, you know, we talked briefly, like you said, it's never been your full-time gig. You're doing something like this. It's almost like your art form for decades. And what are some of the different age groups that you've worked with over the years, Marth?
Oh gosh, I do anything from, you know, I just ordered my daughter a pair of skates and she's 21 months old. So we're getting her on the ice. And, what's very cool about doing what I do is a lot of the kids that I fit when I was in my 20s are now parents and I'm fitting their children for skates. So it's generational. And
yes. And were like you said, a skater, Marth? I grew up on Long Island, and when I was skating on the lake, I was a decent figure skater. Of course, nothing like what we see. But do you come out of the skating world yourself?
I do. I wasn't a very good skater, but, you know, at age 15, I got a job at Rainbow Sports, where I was for, you know, pretty much my high school and my college.
Were you
years.
In Naperville, and, or were you in on the North Shore in Northbrook?
So I was, no, this is way back when they had a shop in Morton Grove. And then when I was and then when I was in college, I worked out of their city location, and I worked out of the Naperville location for a little while. And I love that place because it had that ice cream shop right next door.
Right. Yes. It absolutely did. And, so were you somebody who got serious at all in doing regionals and whatever or competing?
No. I only skated for a few years
for
and
fun?
I started playing hockey. Yeah, exactly.
I do have a few kids mixed in with you. Very few, but I have a few who do both figure skating and hockey. Now, for years, we've had some kids very special. I've had in solo ice dance. And pairs again, like we're talking with Danny O'Shea. And then, Lysacek, who won the gold medal. I don't think he only did one triple, maybe. And, the Russians are still complaining about
yes,
that
they are.
When they were arguing. What a ride that was, man. We were dancing with the stars and all of this stuff out of Naperville. I'm sure you remember all that excitement when we had somebody like that, who was able to go, all the way. In so many different areas, and it's one of the most popular sports in the Olympics is again figure skating, and both men and women. So it's an exciting time when it's coming up in a couple of days.
Yeah, I'm really excited to watch Amber Glenn skate. You know, I love to see someone a little bit older out there skating. You know, it gives me hope as I get older myself, but definitely looking forward to seeing Amber Glenn. And like you said, Danny O'Shea.
Yeah, Amber, I think we saw her at the clinic. And, some of these kids, it's amazing. You know, when you see a youngster in the Olympics, everybody, then you know they were whatever, 6, 7, 8, maybe younger when they started, whether you liked it or you didn't. And that's kind of what's amazing, and it never ceases to amaze me when we watch some of these young. Every time you see the Olympics, we think the world has another chance maybe to get along. You know what I mean? But some of these events are just incredible. And again, these younger and younger athletes, and women's figure skating was always the biggest draw of them all over the years. So again, it's going to be interesting to see. There's lots of potential, and we got to watch this kid, Ilya, right? He's the guy who does like whatever it is, 7 or 8. I think he was on 60 Minutes. They were talking about his program. Again, the physicality is just almost scary. So we try to get these kids. Candy Brown Burek, who you remember, right, were the first gal who introduced me to the world of figure skating in the late 70s, she was concerned with the physical demands of these skaters. They needed to be better athletes. We needed to pay big attention. She paid big attention to mental training,
these figure skaters were visualizing before most other athletes knew how to spell it. So there's always been something very, very special, even if you can put up with some of the judging, you know what I mean?
I mean, judging's always been an issue, but it's obviously gotten better. It's definitely an exciting time. And if the U.S. has a successful Olympics in figure skating, it's always good for business. So.
Oh, yes. It really makes such a big difference as far as that popularity. And the idea of, you know, how many youngsters are trying again, or they're getting serious about what they're doing in the world of skating, because there's so much, pizzazz, and it's interesting with online. It's just, there's so much incredible, information. What's your real job, Morris?
I'm an insurance broker. I've been doing that for almost 25 years. And like I said, the skating side job is a hobby, and like you said, it's an art. I love doing it. I love meeting a lot, you know, families and skating clients. And like I said, it's generational, so it's great to see the kids of old skaters coming up and skating. And it does make me feel old, but I do love it.
Yeah, so I have two or three women in their 80s who are still active in the world of figure skating and love it. And I have coaches who've been in the same orthotics for 30 years in the skates. Candy's one of them. We couldn't even read the date on them. And this is something that we want to pay big attention to. Again, if your son or daughter is a serious skater, then you really want to pay attention to getting the proper fit, the proper brand of skates. It's such a huge part that we've seen over the years. Because again, when you're talking skating consistently 3, 4, 5 days a week, it's tremendous stress on the lower extremity. So if one kid's flat footed, the other kid's got high arches, the other kid's very stiff, the other kid's very rigid, everybody's different. This is where we start paying big attention to the specifics, of adding, again, always strengthening to these areas, and also paying big attention to the positioning. So, you know, Mars, we'll have to have you back every once in a while. Let everybody enjoy the Olympics. And again, word of mouth, we'll spread it for you, my friend. Thanks so much for joining us.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Dr. Wild.
Okay, Mars, take care.
You as well. Take care.
Okay, man. We'll be right back, everybody, with the Sports Doctors In segment.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hey everybody, we are back. Welcome back. It is the Sports Doctors In segment, where we preview some upcoming guests and topics. We add a little bit of Dr. Bob wisdom to the mix. We answer a few emails. Quick shout out to the friends of ours, members of the That One podcasting and branding world. We've had a lot of guests on from this group, some real superstars. So we want to say hi. Matter of fact, speaking of That One, next week, the Code Girls. Members of That One, Dr. Lisa Piper, and she is a functional natural medicine specialist. Her business colleague, Wendy Kahn-Osborne, They have a podcast, but their Code Girls is a new age company of high performance health and wellness. Drops of various values. Everything better sleep, better energy, clear headedness. And Dr. Nathan Bryan, all things nitric oxide. So much information we see, we hear, we need to understand about the importance of nitric oxide. So we're looking forward to him joining us the following week. Again, we're going to continue with some functional medicine. Another member of that one, another major podcaster, Dr. Kelly McCann. And then Neil Speaks will be joining us. He is a agribusiness entrepreneur. I guested on his podcast last week because he's all about growing healthy food and that beginning of the chain of making a difference in what we eat. So great guests, great topics coming up. I want to remind everybody, if they go to thesportsdoctorradio.com. That's my website. You can find all about different things we're doing, some of the different platforms, the National Fitness Hall of Fame, the book, hashtag A Sports Parent. So the website is a place to find out who is Dr. Bob, what's he up to. Some Dr. Bob wisdom that we want to share. And it's the topic of instability training. We talked about it briefly in the world of figure skating with Morris, the late great sports therapist Bob Guida, the late great sports psychologist Jim Vickery, both of whom spent many, many radio shows with me, made such a big deal, again, out of balance, whether it was mental or physical. Again, creating imbalance, mental or physical, and strengthening the systems that can self-correct or make a positive difference in these areas. Again, I've spoken many times on the sports doctor when, with instability, where if you've walked into the Sports Fitness Institute or Spry Sports Performance with Bob Guida, so many athletes were balancing on mini trampolines. So many were working with rubber bands. With the foot ankle and different parts of the body. Imagine the hockey player balancing on a mini tram barefoot, swinging a hockey stick. Next to him was a tennis player balancing on another part of the mini tram, swinging a tennis racket, depending what the sport was. Even in senior citizens, again, imagine yourself standing on one foot with your eyes closed, maybe doing a part of partial squat. When you create imbalance, and you can do it mentally, which many of our guests have talked about. When you create imbalance, you demand stability. You demand the vestibular systems of the ear, talking about my friend Sheila with vestibular training, with these spinning athletes, and the idea of enhancing balance and performance. Or again, we're talking about the balance and stability using tilt boards, the great sand dune stepper, which is the piece of equipment that simulates being on the beach on the sand, working the gripping muscles of the feet and ankles. And that makes such a particular difference when we're talking again about preventing trouble and enhancing performance. Couple of emails. So says, my daughter's a volleyball player. Boy, she's been dealing with jumper's knee. Could it be foot related? Yes, Sheila, it can. We work with the Olympic players on down, various ages, sports podiatry. I would use orthotics all the time for knee problems, knee tendonitis, excessive torque, because of excessively pronated feet. So besides all the physical therapy or the orthopedics that you might be doing, again, if her feet don't hurt, this is many times missed. Now, Terry asks, he says, you know, my son's a serious tennis player. He's 12 years old. He's growing like crazy. He's been dealing with these Achilles tendon problems on and off. Is this a shoe issue? No, Terry, it's not. This is something I would see all the time over the years, going way back, whether it was Tracy Austin or Mr. McEnroe when he was a 20-year-old. He came to see Gaida with his ankles. And the idea, tennis is such a multi-sport that involves change of direction. When the Achilles is a problem, then many times it's foot mechanics related. Now, the shoe is very, very important. Arch support is key. I've been putting orthotics in tennis shoes forever for that particular problem of persistent Achilles trouble. We're not talking about a torn Achilles. We're not talking about a surgical problem. We're not talking about a bone spurs in an older individual. If we're talking with the kids or young adults, almost always persistent Achilles problems are related to foot mechanics. We might see it in the high arch foot because of the jolting of the heel when it hits the ground. We might more commonly see it in the excessively pronated flattening foot, which is stretching the Achilles area. So again, the importance of strengthening is key. The importance of making sure that you're paying attention to rest and recovery. Again, overuse, big problem with these kids. The more talented they are, the more we're under that kind of stress. Dr. Weil, don't you understand? It could be Terry saying, if my son doesn't take two Advil twice a day, he can't be on the court. And he's only 13 years old. And this is common, whatever the sport is, where we will see these kinds of pressures. And this is why I'm looking forward to one of these days. We will see the documentary with my friend, the producer and creator of this project, Where Our Children Play, the challenge of youth sports. People who listen to The Sports Doctor know Joel Franco. He's been on numerous times. And that documentary, hopefully over these next few months, we will see it all about these topics. Youth sports, the challenge of the parents, the challenge of the coaches, the challenge of the kids themselves when it comes again to off-sport conditioning. Or we had on a prominent nutritionist a few weeks ago talking about eating disorder problems in some of the young dancers and young figure skaters that she was seeing, again, because of weight management, that kind of a problem and situation. So we want to be able to participate. Again, shout out again, a lot of attention with type 2 juvenile diabetes. My role is to help us all pay big attention to the role of exercise, routine exercise, not a member of a team, routine exercise, the younger the better, getting these kids to do something about the epidemic of childhood obesity. Screen time and everything else we talked about is a big, big challenge. By the time the kids are in junior high school, it's maybe 1 out of 10 on a team. The rest of these kids aren't doing anything. There's an explosion of juvenile type 2 diabetes that had to be renamed. Used to be adult onset type 2 diabetes. Over the last couple of decades, there was an explosion of children, adolescents with diabetes. Diabetic is a major, major scourge. And my colleague, the founder of LEAP, Lower Extremity Amputation Prevention, Dr. Rubin, you've had him on the show numerous times, talking about the importance of foot screening and paying attention to the whole foot relationship and the dealing with how many of these amputations are preventable if they're caught early enough. And the whole other side, which is the type 2, the kids, prevention, lifestyle. Many of you know, numerous guests, recent past, the world of biohacking. For a while we were asking, what the heck is biohacking is? Biohacking is lifestyle, functional medicine. It's the Eastern culture being included. Thousands of years, many times, acupuncture, we were talking about sports hypnosis and some of these other areas in the mental training area, has been around for decades and now really, really being appreciated. So this is something that sports medicine has started paying big attention to, the mental side, the mental training, as well as dealing with stress. And this is why we'll finish it off again with what we talk about as the new medicine. The new medicine, number one, eat smarter. Everybody knows what that means. There's plenty of education out there, information, whether it's supplements, whether it's, again, what you're eating, how you're eating, how often. Eat smarter. Number two, keep moving. Lots of choices. You want to be active. You want to pay big attention to the importance of exercise, part of the new medicine. You want to do yoga. You want to do Pilates. You want to go to the gym. You want to be a runner. A lot of choices. You want to swim. Pick something. You will enjoy it. Can't be pissed off when you're exercising. It's almost impossible. Number three is huge. Reduce stress. Rest and recovery. This is such a challenge for all of us. That's without me mentioning politics. Is the stresses that we're talking about on the mental side. So again, the new medicine, it is simple. One, eat smarter. Two, keep moving. Three, reduce stress. On that note, we see everybody next week, everybody. Thanks so much to our friends at BVS. That one, the sports doctor. Thank you.